Okay, so. And you know, the beauty about walking with the Lord is that not everybody's called to the same thing, you know? I mean, we, like Africa, you know, just different things are just not necessarily everybody's call in life, and everybody's just a little bit different. But to me, what is so amazing that everybody is created individually and have different giftings. And today, we have Lynette Clark, who's going to share with us. She's a Christian author, and she's going to share about her new book with us. It's on.
That's okay. So I'm going to really try to cut down. I don't want to take from the preaching. But a number of years ago, I had my first book published, and quite a number of people bought it from the church. So that was about a godly woman who was a great example. But the book I've written now this year, I feel very passionately about. It's called His Treasured Possession, What Kind of People Ought We to Be? And I feel passionate about it because it's something that really relates to us. It's not there in another woman or another man. It's really speaking to us. Do I know God? Do I walk with God? Do I love God? And it's so important that we know the answer to that question. The books, I was going to read. I didn't bring my reading glasses, which is a bit difficult. The book is based on two verses of scripture, one in Timothy, which reads, "Train yourself to be godly, for physical training is of some value, but godliness is value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come." And it's also based on an Old Testament verse from Deuteronomy, which says, "For you are a people holy to the Lord your God. The Lord your God has chosen you out of all the peoples on the face of the earth to be his people, his treasured possession." So they're the two verses, really, that this book is based on. In the last section, it's really made up of 23 chapters and 14 appendices. So it's quite a long book. And it's made up of four parts. The first part is godliness is a value for all things. The second part is godliness is a value for knowing him, knowing Christ. The third part is it's a value for sharing him. And the fourth part is a value, godliness is a value for the present life and the life to come. Now, in the last part of the book, I deal with sending our treasure on ahead of us. And I'll just read a quote that I've got here. What sort of treasure are we living for, and how much are we sending on ahead? The story is told of a man who died and arrived at the gates of heaven. As he was ushered in, he was overcome by the incomparable quality of the mansions all around him. They were magnificent. If you remember, in John's Gospel, we're told that Jesus goes on to prepare a place for us. As he was guided through the streets by an angel, he found himself amongst dwellings which were not quite as splendid as the ones they had just left behind, but were still exceedingly impressive. Another street brought them to smaller dwellings, but still quite grand. Soon after traveling along a few more streets, they came to a patch of ground upon which was a wooden hut. The man was perplexed and looked to the angel for an explanation. The angel said, "I'm afraid this is all we could manage in relation to what you've sent on ahead. We're categorically told not to store up treasure on earth. In contrast, we are told emphatically to store up treasure for ourselves in heaven. God knows our hearts. He knows if we are wedded to this world. Our real treasure should be inward and eternal, not bound up in what is temporal and will soon pass away. So, my great emphasis is knowing God personally, knowing him for ourselves, and knowing him in our experience. I let one of my endorsers commend the book to you. He's a lecturer in a London Bible College. This book is accessible, engaging, biblical walk through different aspects of the Christian life, from our own interior spirituality through to its outward expression in hospitality and evangelism. The chapters are peppered with helpful illustrations, including some that are very personal and moving. Lynette manages to be searching and challenging without being heavy or hectoring, and the whole is permeated by a warm spirit of gratitude to God for his finished work. The chapters would repay slow reading, perhaps one a day, and because they are not because they're complicated, but because they are so practical. There are even recipes for those who need help in the culinary arts. For the new Christian, they will be like the first visit to the gym that Lynette recounts. For the frequent visitor, they will be like a friendly reminder to revisit regularly the fundamentals of Christian discipleship. A few weeks ago, a friend from the church who had bought my book came up to me and tentatively said, "Lynn, I've started reading your book, and I understand it." So I pray that those who would like to buy the book, I've only got 8 copies. I had to leave a number of clothes behind to bring them. But if you'd like to buy one, then see me after the meeting. Okay, thank you.
And maybe she'll even sign it. So wonderful. So let's turn in our Bibles to Luke chapter 21. Actually, let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that you love us. Thank you so much that Lord, it's worth living for you. Your word says, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world if he loses his soul? Thank you, Lord, that it's not about being wealthy or being poor, but it is about the quality of life, the quality of knowing you. You said this is eternal life, to know you, the only true God. And it's so sad that in dying, some people lose everything and some gain everything. And I ask, Father, you would take this time and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, just simple lessons. Simple lessons that we can learn today, just in the last few minutes we have of the service. I just pray that you would help us to get perspective. In Jesus' name, amen. Actually, in chapter 22, verse 31 of Luke, it says that Jesus said to Simon, "Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat. But I've prayed for you that your faith shall not fail. And when you return to me, strengthen your brothers." We talked last week and this week as well about the attacks of Satan upon our life. And you know, some people are like, man, Satan. I've never seen them, never heard them. They can't possibly be a Satan. You can't possibly believe in a devil. But the reality, it's amazing that we tend to blame the bad things that happen on earth on God. Where it's very simple to realize that a lot of the manipulation, a lot of things that happen on earth, could it be that it's just the devil? And some people might say, well, I haven't seen him. And I was thinking about this in coming here, you know, and it's like, man, my mother-in-law, she loves El Secreto. It's a telenovela, a Spanish telenovela, but in Italian. So to me, a happy mother-in-law makes a happy home. She's coming for 2 weeks. And my great ambition for the last couple of weeks has been to bring El Secreto home. But you know what? It's tough. It's tough sometimes because the reality, it's accessible. It's there. But how do we get it? Well, I had to point the antenna in the right direction, the satellite dish. It's there all the time, but if I don't have the satellite dish, it ain't gonna work. Then I have to get the decoder. So I got the decoder, but then it was all messed up, so I had to call a guy to help me out. And then I needed a card with my father-in-law's DNI kind of thing. His NIE, as you guys would have here. And now all of a sudden, boom, I had Il Secreto in HD. It was always there. You could have said, I don't see it. You could have said, I don't feel it. You could have said, I can't get the story. But it was always there. You just needed the receptor. And many times we can spend our lives sort of mocking the fact that it's not there. Well, I don't believe in that stuff. Well, the question is not whether you believe in it or not. The question is it true? We don't change truth by our belief and unbelief. What's facts are facts. Try to tell a cop, I didn't see the red light. So, the fact is, you ran it. And you get a ticket. And the reality is that in our lives, like it or not, we are under direct attack, spiritual attack from the devil. You know, in some ways, the devil has the attributes of anything bad that we know on earth. You see a bad dictator. You see Cuba with Fidel Castro. People fled the Canary Islands. People fled the Civil War. People fled Franco. And they ended up going to Cuba. And all of a sudden, Fidel took over. And you know, you go to Cuba and it's amazing. There's some people that are awake. But there are other people that are like, hey, but we have education, right? But look, nobody has education like we do. So in a sense, that dictator gives them a little bit so they're just content with their life. Where others are saying, this is not life as it should be. And in some ways, the devil will give you what you're content with. Just enough to keep you happy on earth so that you don't long for God. I mean, I'm taking it a little bit out of context, but it says, Simon, Simon, indeed Satan has asked for you that he may sift you as wheat, but I've prayed for you. Now notice God's heart. God's heart is that he will not take advantage of you. And there's something that you're going to be, a tactic of the devil in our life that you're going to be surprised what it is. One of the tactics of the devil is to be concerned and consumed about the things of this world. That'll be the last time that happens, huh, Julie? Sometimes it can be consumed with good stuff. In Luke 10, 40 through 41, it says, but Martha was distracted with much serving, and she approached him and said, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me. And Jesus answered and said to her, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And the word troubled and worried, it could be distracted. It could be turning here and there. It could be tossed from one place to another. And it illustrates the kind of thing that we are talking about. You can be doing a very good thing. You can be doing even an excellent thing, but it keeps you from the best thing. It can be so busy. I cannot tell you how many times I've ran into people, and I said, why don't you read the Bible? I don't have time for that. I'm too busy. Really? It's like saying, I'm going to buy a house, but I'm not going to research the foundation. I'm not going to check the price market. It's like, I don't know, sending our kids to a school, not knowing anything about where we're sending them. It's like some guy coming over and saying, hey, I'm going to take your kid. I'll volunteer to take your kids over to your grandparents to the States. Here, I'll get them on a plane. It's like without researching anything. I'm too busy. And really, at the end of the day, our souls, we are not just parents. We are not just mom and dads. We are not just workers. We are not just businessmen. We are not just whatever it is that we are. We are souls. And the word of God goes out, and it says that some fell among the thorns, and the thorns sprung up with it and choked it. And now he describes it in Luke 8:14. Jesus says, now the ones that fell among the thorns, the seed that fall, are those who, when they have heard the word of God, go out and are choked with the cares, the riches, the pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. Again, the Bible is not against pleasure. The Bible is not against riches. Solomon was the richest man in the world. He knew pleasure like no other. But yes, if it keeps you from God. Jesus said, what does it profit a man if you gain the whole world and you lost your soul? Luke 21, 34 through 36 says, but take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that the day come on you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Therefore, watch and pray always, that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass, and to stand before the Son of Man. Who are you? And I don't want to be heavy, but I guess I'm going to have to be heavy a little bit. Who are you if the Lord was to say, your soul is required of you today? Who are you then? I must challenge myself. Who are we then? I told a story a few months ago about Mark and I on the plane, and our plane began to descend in Barcelona. And as we're going down and down, I'm beginning to see the runway, like beneath it. You know, we're that close. And all of a sudden, I just realized something's wrong here. And the plane just began to take off and take off and take off. And I said, Mark, we're done. And Mark just grabs my hand and he says, wonderful, we're going to see Jesus. And I'm just like, really? And that plane just whoom, took off. And what happened is there was a plane in front of us on the runway. We were about to crash into it. And the pilot said, eject, eject, or whatever. And he just pulled up. Not eject, thank God. Pull up, pull up. Can you imagine? You see the pilot parachute down. It's like, oh, no. But, you know, who are we? And, you know, I mention this very often because it had tremendous impact in my life. There was a lady in this church that was just, this was her holiday church. And she was a multimillionaire. And she got cancer. And I remember I was supposed to do her funeral, but she said to me, you know, I'd rather see you while I'm alive. Please come see me. And we went to see her around the bed. And she says to me, you know what? God has blessed us materially throughout the years. But the only thing that matters in this bed, is to know the love of God. And she gathered people day after day. She would gather the hairdresser and she would share the gospel with her. And I honestly believe she wanted us to go so she could give us certain treasures to keep with us before she left. And you know what her husband said to me? Raphael, I really believe that she waited for you. She died the next morning. But to leave the reminder in my heart that it doesn't matter whether you have a lot or whether you have little, it's not a sin either way. But what are you without those things? What are you without the little? Without you, without a lot? Do you have peace? Do you have love that has flooded your heart? And we have to pay attention because the devil is the artist of distraction. He uses the distraction tool. Think about it. You do it with your kids. Arden will say, I want to do this. And it's something I don't want. I don't want him to do. It's bad for him. And I say, hey, you want to go to the beach? Oh, yes. Yes. Beach. 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 It's the distraction tactic. We use it all the time. But in our life, it's like that too. We got to prepare for VBS, and I got a taskmaster. It's called Loretta. You know, you put the kids in bed, and you think, they're finally in bed. Now it's me time. Oh, no, 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 it's VBS time. It's 11:30. I'm still practicing skits. And she's just like, and she's acting them out. And I'm just like, I just want to have me time. And I forgot why I was telling you that. Distractions. Yeah, I guess that. I don't know how that's a... But yeah, exactly. Oh, no, no, of course, of course. But the VBS is an important thing. I mean, it is to spend time with these children. It is to be able to share with these kids. But if it was up to me, I would be consumed. The last couple of days, I've been consumed with organizing our Christmas time to be able to be with the grandparents. And you know what? I mean, if you put it, it's like, could you not do it a week later? And the reality is I could do a week later. But I'm being challenged with distractions. There's something important ahead of me, and I'm distracted. And some people have a great ability to focus. They're able to prioritize. I am terrible. I think I have ADHD. But you know what? All of us have that when it comes to spiritual things. Because when it comes to spiritual things, it's like, okay, I'm going to go to the gym. And then you manage to go to the gym. But say, I'm going to grow in my Christian life, and I'm going to read the Bible, and I'm going to figure out what this whole thing is about, and I'm going to ask Jesus to help me with it. It's amazing how distracted, easily distracted we become. So we have to be careful that we don't let the the challenges or the pleasures of this life, the distractions, to allow the devil to keep us busy doing something when it keeps us from the main thing, which is knowing God. You know, your life and my life is a little speck. Our life on earth is less than a second in the light of eternity. It's less than a second. It's that. It'll be gone. Eternity's forever. What if you live forever? What if God has given you this life? And he's reaching, like it says, some theologians don't like the song. It says, how recklessly you love me. And you know, and people just are too literal sometimes. But I mean, reckless, it means how reckless that someone would just give their son without thinking about himself. But he loves us. And eternity is long. And I think sometimes another tactic of the devil, and this is, I'm going to close with this one very briefly. I had a long message, actually, so be thankful. So one, don't be distracted. Don't allow yourself to be distracted. And don't allow yourself to be made afraid. What do I mean by that? People don't come to the Lord, I believe, number one reason is fear. Fear that somehow they're going to become these weird people that dress a certain way, talk a certain way, look a certain way, go to certain things. And the fear that maybe even our parents have put upon us. You know, if maybe we give consequences to our kids and we just think like, oh man, if I do that, that's what he does. He wants to find me out so he can punish me. Where it could be nothing further from the truth. God sent his son because he loves us so much. And yes, he wants to confront your sin. He wants to confront your selfishness, your self-centeredness. He wants to confront your ignorance. He wants to confront a lot of things. He wants us to be able to come out in the open and be honest. Not so he can punish us, but so that we would be forgiven. So he can forgive us. He wants our relationship to be restored. There's nothing worse than dealing with someone that will not face what they've done. No? Think about it. I mean, one of the things I have with Jonathan sometimes is like, it's like the hiding, which I do the same thing, of course. We want to hide. But one of the things that drives me nuts is if he keeps lying and lying and lying to cover something. I'm just like, how do I deal with that? How can you build a relationship on lies? Where one of the things that I treasure with Loretta so much is that no matter what it is that's going on, we just come out in the open. So there's trust, there's relationship there. That's what God wants from us. He wants just, you don't have to lay it out to everybody, but at least lay it out to him who knows everything. And the moment, you know, the moment you go, you know what? Yes, this is who I am. It's amazing how he wants to deal with it. He wants to throw it away, and he wants to bless your life. He wants to bless your life. The devil will keep you afraid, making you think that Jesus wants to destroy your life. Think about dictators. Think about Iran. you don't want to go to the devil's country. If you go to America, that's the devil's country. If you go to Cuba, don't go to America. No vayas al norte. Los americanos, los yankees, republicanos. Don't, nobody understands me anymore. but just go up. Don't go up there. You know, it's the fear tactics with China. It's like, don't let the internet hear. Don't let the people know what's going on. They want to keep people afraid. The devil wants to keep you afraid that if you give your life to Jesus, things are going to be so terrible. Loretta and I, we both, my name is, and I'm sorry for you guys that are here all the time, but my name is Rafael Manzanares Vicario. Vicario means vicar. It means a priest. It means a pastor. And I remember doing lines of cocaine and just laughing and thinking to myself, a pastor. Loretta used to be the smart one. She would read literature and she would read Victorian novels about vicars and their wives. And she would say to herself, how boring must it be to be married to a vicar? Look at us now. But honestly, and I'm not just saying this, I'm not trying to give you a sales pitch. I have peace. You might see me grumpy sometimes. You might see me anxious at times. But that is the superficial. When you get to the bottom of me, in the bottom of me, there's peace. There's love. I honestly have to pinch myself daily. Honestly, I never thought I would pastor a church. And I love doing this. I've been offered a lot more money than I make here. And yet, I love doing this. I love opening the Bible and just and discovering the Bible together. I cannot believe that I get to go to Turkey and grab Iranians out of Iran and share the gospel with them, or go to Peru, or go to Argentina, or have Loretta go to Romania, or be a part of what Alex is going, and she goes to Uganda, or Alex doing youth camps with the military, and you're just like, man, life is an adventure. And this is just the beginning. We have a few more years to go serving the Lord on earth. We're venturing out on possibly doing a school here, do a Christian school to be able to reach kids, to give them liberty of thought, not even to make them Christians, to give them liberty of thought rather than making them cookie cutter kids. I have to pinch myself that we know God and we get to serve Him. And we are filled with prejudices. We did a baptism the other day at the beach. And we're so excited. We're baptizing these four kids and Barbara and these two Spanish people, these two Spanish old ladies. They come out of the water. It's like, you would think we're strangers. What is this? Are you Jehovah Witnesses? No, we're Christians. If you watch a movie and you see I told her this. If you see a gospel choir. Yeah, she goes, yeah, that's us, I said. I didn't know how else to describe it, you know. But the reality is, when it's in a movie, it's okay. If it's the real Christians in front of you, it's not okay. It's weird. I did a wedding the other day with over 100 people, and it is amazing. I was just talking about love, and you know, it's just amazing. People are just longing for love. But that love that people are longing for, it's found in Jesus Christ. It's found nowhere else. And prejudices keep us. The devil keeps us prejudiced and in fear. And I just want to make one point, this. There is nobody like Jesus Christ anywhere on earth. No man, no woman will satisfy you. No thing will satisfy you. No trip will satisfy you. No secluded beach will satisfy you. No amount of stuff will satisfy you. The only one that will ever satisfy your soul is Jesus Christ. And the devil is in the game of keeping you from that. Even your loved ones will keep you from it. My mom, you know, you don't have to be that extreme. You're going to Bible school? Come on. My dad was embarrassed of me being a Christian. I got to lead him to the Lord 3 days before he died. Maybe loved ones will even keep you. Guys, no one loves you like he does. There's no one parallel to him. It says that the Lord, when we come to him, we come with our sins. We realize that on the cross he paid it, and that he died, and that he rose. And then he says, Peter goes, now repent. Believe. So it's almost like the repenting is because of the lack of belief. Believe. And then it says this, the times of refreshing will come from on high. That your soul will be refreshed. That you would, you know, not that you will never be thirsty again, but that you will know exactly where to keep drinking and keep drinking and keep drinking. Just want to encourage you today. Let no one or anything, especially the devil in whom you tend not to believe, keep you from the loving person and powerful person and the God of God, the King of Kings, Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much, Lord. Thank you so much for the beautiful relationships you bring our way. Thank you so much for the greatest relationship that you restored, which is you and us. That we can have peace with you. Lord, keep us from being distracted from the busyness of life. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and he loses his soul? Lord, keep us from... Help us, Lord, and may we do something from being afraid of you in the wrong sense. Help us to have a healthy fear, but realizing that we can come to you, that you are the only one that wants to do good to us, ultimately and completely. And Lord, help us to make that step. Help us to make that step to just believe you. And that our hearts would be open, Lord, to receive Jesus. That it doesn't matter whether we're rich, whether we're poor, whether we're middle class. That what matters is that love has filled our hearts. The love of Jesus. The love of your Spirit, the love of the Father. Oh Lord, have your way with us. In Jesus' name, amen.